that we have to lead today. I remember when I was doing my ordination exam, someone asked me, some of the theologians that were in that meeting asked me, where do you find in this, not, it wasn't this scripture, but where do you find in scripture, in this scripture, law and grace, or law and gospel? Well, it's very easy to find law. That's when we say, oh, I'm not doing it quite well, or oops, that's me. And gospel is saying, well, in spite of me being what I am, there is God giving us blessings and pouring all those good things on us. Basically, that's it. But in this one, in some scriptures, there is a little bit, it's a little bit harder to find not law, but grace, believe it or not. And this is one. I'm going to start saying that a few years ago, one Sunday, I was in a hurry. I was wearing my collar. It was in Puerto Rico. And I was late for church. And I got into my car, and I stopped at the same red light that I hated so much. And this guy comes to me, comes to my car, homeless. This homeless guy goes to my car. And I'm trying not to look at him because I didn't have anything to give him. And I have, and I'm going to confess this to you and for everyone who's listening to the radio. I had a bottle of water, and I was drinking it. You know what I did? I did it because I wanted that bottle of water. And I knew I wasn't going to have the time to buy one from there to the church. Well, maybe he doesn't want the bottle of water, but I feel like I have to give him the bottle of water. And in that very shameful moment, I looked away. And I didn't look at him. But you know what he did? He knocked at my window. And he looked at me. And I pulled down the window, had to look at him, and I looked at him, and instead of him asking for money, what he said was, Reverend, could you give me the blessing? Exactly. I felt horrible. I'm not going to tell you how I felt, but I felt like garbage. I felt horrible. All I could do was, God bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I just looked straight forward. I was so ashamed because that day I was not only going to church, I was preach the gospel that morning. Answer it in Jesus. I was ashamed of myself, and I never said anything to anyone. We don't like poverty. We do not like poverty. We don't want to see poverty. We don't want to look at it. We don't want to smell it even, especially smell it. And we don't want to hear about it either, because we don't understand poverty. to. You know why? Because it calls us out. And you might say, well, Pastor, I know what poverty is. I do know what poverty is. I've never been rich. Well, neither do I.
The Lord knows, neither do I.
But one thing is not being able to pay this month's electricity bill, and another one is saying that we are miserably poor. We do not understand poverty. And that doesn't mean we're rich, because we aren't. That doesn't mean we're rich. We feel guilty when we see poverty, real poverty. That's why we don't want to look at it. That's why it makes us uneasy. We feel guilty in a weird way. And then we say empty comments like, I donate to the poor. Or, I give money to the homeless. We don't want to go. We don't want to see. And when I ask, have you been to Milwaukee? They say, oh yeah, I've been. And this is an actual question I ask, and this is an actual answer I receive. Oh yeah, I've been to Mayfair, and I've gone to the State Fair. We don't want to see, we don't want to go, we don't want to hear about it. And most churches, and I'm not talking about this because this is another reality, but most churches, they just feel at ease just writing a check to partner churches in Milwaukee. I was at the other end, and I was the pastor saying, well, thank you for the checks, but come over and visit so you can learn something. Yeah, they didn't like me. Maybe like two blocks. We don't want to see. We don't want to see. Like I didn't want to see that homeless guy knocking stubbornly at my window. Maybe like two blocks away. Like two blocks away from the White House, Washington, D.C. has their poorest population. That's irony. Just think. Like two blocks away. And still, they fall through the cracks. How do you win a nomination? How do you win an election? Well, I don't know. But I do know how you don't win it. I know how you don't win elections, and it's talking about poverty. You know when elections talking about poverty? You talk about helping the middle class. Huh? That's not poverty. We might struggle a little. We might struggle, but that's not poverty, my friends. You win elections talking about middle class. Not poverty. You focus on the middle class, not poverty. And it's not because we don't want to. No. It's not because we say that it does not exist. No. That's bad for business. How you want to see economic progress without having to see those who are not only left out, but exploited for the sake of the advances of others. too difficult to solve poverty. Imagine 4 years, 8 years. It's too difficult, too complex to solve poverty. So they focus on middle class and things they can achieve. It's too big. We don't want to see it because it's too big, too overwhelmingly big. It's ingrained in our system. So that makes it more complex, more difficult. It's ingrained in our system. Poverty, it's ingrained in our system. Too difficult to solve. It's not as easy as people can leave poverty if they want to. I'm tired of hearing that. That's nonsense. People don't want to be poor. We cannot say people can leave poverty if they want to, or if only they would work hard. Really. That's why I dare to say that we do not understand poverty. That's why I dare to say that poverty is ingrained in our system. We have poverty everywhere, even here in Hartford. And once someone told me, we were fine here, we're fine here. Nothing's going on here. We're okay. I'll tell you why some think like that. And I did my research this morning. The financial mean of families in Hartford, Wisconsin, the mean is $80,639. And this was published in 2019. And you might say, well, yeah, that's not great, but that's not that bad. That's not bad. The race most likely to be in poverty in Hartford, Wisconsin is black, with 37.84% below the poverty level. The race, well, and obviously we don't have any of those here. It's not your fault. It's ingrained in the system. Like I told you, I think it was last Sunday, I am your diversity here. And I'm not even black. I'm Hispanic, and let me tell you, I couldn't find the percentages of Hispanics in Hartford, so. The race least likely to be in poverty in Hartford, Wisconsin, guess what? What? With 9.40% below the poverty level. So also poverty is in the majority of cases, or in the majority of cases, poverty has a correlation with certain variables like race. And race has a certain correlation with the place you live, and also with education. See the complexity of this? We like the rich man live with an enormous chasm, not only around our lives to be able to say that everything's fine, but around our communities as well. I did a little trip around the places I knew a little bit about Hartford. I couldn't find a lot of something. To live here, you most likely have to earn, not earn, but own your house. That's an indicative. Again, it's not to make you feel guilty, but we need to see. We need to see in order to serve. We need to see the pockets of necessity in our own community in order to serve, and in order to serve well. There is a chasm, not only around our lives, like I said, but also around our communities as well. And this is not to make us feel bad, like I told you, but to open our eyes about the systems that surround us and that have been surrounding us even before we were born. Because this is not new. Well, you see the rich man and Lazarus. It's not new. Homework. I usually don't give homework, but this is a homework. If you get bored, just look for redlining in Google. Redlining. And you'll see what I mean about systemic poverty. You'll see what I mean about the huge chasm. And you'll see what I mean when I say that only some of the people that live here, the majority of people that live here, should be able to afford their own housing. You'll see. You'll see. I'm not saying the vast majority that people that live here own their housing, but it's difficult for them to own it, at least here. Today's gospel forces us to see what we don't want to see. The rich man, the scripture didn't say he was bad. It didn't say that at all. Maybe he was like us that gave donations sometimes, but he didn't see Lazarus in front of his gate. Let's start with the gate part. In Puerto Rico, people have gates in their houses. And also, there are many gated communities. Well, the gated communities are for the people that we don't know going in, to control who comes in our communities. And usually, the people that live in those closed gated, communities have to pay extra money for them to be beautiful, okay? That means like maybe $200 a month or $500 a year, depending where you're living. And rich people don't live in those gated communities. I've lived in one of them. And every single month, I had to pay the administration of my complex $146. And I would have to plead not to get a letter saying, well, things are going up and we're going to have to give you a higher. You'll have to pay more by next month or in 2 months. There is a divide. There is a divide, and we have to see it, brothers and sisters. And in that process of seeing it, maybe you live the experience I lived when I didn't want to see that homeless person knocking at my door, just to know that he was just looking for a blessing. Yeah. There is a divide. Still, we are called to see how God sees, to see the way God sees. And that is precisely what makes us feel uneasy, uncomfortable, guilty even. The rich man acknowledges it's too late for him. And ask Abraham to let Lazarus go to his family and try to save his five brothers, to warn them about what's going to happen if they don't change their mind, if they don't start seeing around, watching and looking. And what does Abraham says? Doesn't matter. They have prophets and Moses. And us, beloveds, we've received the greatest act of grace ever. God incarnate. We're not talking about Moses. We're not talking about prophets. We're talking about God incarnate. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We have the teachings of the resurrected Jesus, and yet we too fail to love our neighbors. In very tangible, just and merciful ways, we build fences, gates, and walls. And then justify them. And if we can't pay for them, we find a way to do it. Sorry, I didn't have to be said. Still, we have a God so merciful, so loving, that he doesn't give up on us. He sent us Jesus with his teachings and the Holy Spirit with her guidance and comfort. This is one of those sermons that is practically all law. And the only grace that I could tell you about is the fact that God sent Jesus. God sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here with us. And is giving us the wisdom. And it's opening our eyes. And it's opening our ears. We just have to let him work through us.